Chapter 19. May I interrupt you, Hugo?
Of course, Dawes, said Hugo Averill with a large smile. You are never an interruption. What can I do for you?
I'm trying to find out a few things, Hugo, and I wonder if you would humour me in this.
If I can.
You have something in the project called the Prime Radiant. I hear of it now and then. Hurry speaks of it, so I imagine I know what it looks like when it is activated, but I've never actually seen it in operation. I would like to.
Amaral looked uncomfortable.
Actually, the Prime Radiant is just about the most closely guarded part of the project, and you aren't on the list of the members who have access.
I know that, but we've known each other for 28 years.
And you're Hurry's wife.
I suppose we can stretch a point.
We only have 2 full Prime Radiants. There's one in Hurry's office and one here. Right there, in fact.
Dawes looked at the squat black cube on the central desk. It looked utterly undistinguished.
Is that it?
That's it. It stores the equations that describe the future.
How do you get at those equations?
Amaral moved a contact, and at once the room darkened, and then came to life in a variegated glow. All around, doors were symbols, arrows, lines, mathematical signs of one sort or another. They seemed to be moving, spiraling. But when she focused her eyes on any particular portion, it seemed to be standing still.
She said, "Is that the future, then?"
"It may be," said Amaral, turning off the instrument.
"I had it at full expansion, so you could see the symbols. Without expansion, nothing is visible but patterns of light and dark.
And by studying those equations, you are able to judge what the future holds in store for us?"
"In theory, yes."
The room was now back to its mundane appearance.
"But there are 2 difficulties."
"Oh?
What are they?"
"To begin with, no human mind has created those equations directly. We have merely spent decades programming more powerful computers, and they have devised and stored the equations. But, of course, we don't know if they are valid and have meaning. It depends entirely on how valid and meaningful the programming is in the first place."
"They could be all wrong, then."
"They could be." Amaral rubbed his eyes, and Dawes could not help thinking how old and tired he seemed to have grown in the last couple of years. He was younger than Hurry by nearly 12 years, but he seemed much older.
"Of course," Amaral went on in a rather weary voice, "we hope that they aren't all wrong, but that's where the second difficulty comes in. Although Hurry and I have been testing and modifying them for decades, we can never be sure what the equations mean. The computer has constructed them, so it is to be presumed they must mean something.
But what?
There are portions that we think we have worked out. In fact, right now I'm working on what we call Section A23, a particularly knotty system of relationships. We have not yet been able to match it with anything in the real universe. Still, each year sees us further advanced, and I look forward confidently to the establishment of psychohistory as a legitimate and useful technique for dealing with the future."
"How many people have access to these Prime Radiants?"
"Every mathematician in the project has access, but not at will. There have to be applications and time allotted, and the Prime Radiant has to be adjusted to the portion of the equations a mathematician wishes to refer to. It gets a little complicated when everyone wants to use the Prime Radiant at the same time. Right now, things are slow, possibly because we're still in the aftermath of Hurry's birthday celebration."
"Is there any plan for constructing additional Prime Radiants?"
Amaral thrust out his lips.
Yes and no. It would be very helpful if we had a third, but someone would have to be in charge of it. It can't just be a community possession. I have suggested to Hurry that Tamwal Ilar, you know him, I think.
Yes, I do.
That Ilar have a third Prime Radiant. His achaotic equations and the electro-clarifier, he thought up, make him clearly the third man in the project after Hurry and myself. Hurry hesitates, however.
Why? Do you know?
If Ilar gets one, he is openly recognized as the third man over the head of other mathematicians who are older and who have more senior status in the project. There might be some political difficulties, so to speak. I think that we can't waste time in worrying about internal politics. But Hurry... well, you know Hurry.
Yes, I know Hurry.
Suppose I tell you that Lynn has seen the Prime Radiant.
Lynn?
Colonel Hender Lynn of the Junta. Tenor's lackey. I doubt that very much, Dawes. He has spoken of spiralling equations, and I have just seen them produced by the Prime Radiant. I can't help but think he's been here and seen it working.
Amaral shook his head. I can't imagine anyone bringing a member of the Junta into Hurry's office.
Or mine. Tell me, who in the project do you think is capable of working with the Junta in this fashion?
No one, said Amaral flatly, and with clearly unlimited faith. That would be unthinkable. Perhaps Lynn never saw the Prime Radiant, but was merely told about it. Who would tell him about it?
Amaral thought a moment and said, No one. Well, now, you talked about internal politics a while ago in connection with the possibility of Eli having a third Prime Radiant. I suppose in a project such as this one, with hundreds of people, there are little feuds going on all the time, frictions, quarrels.
Oh, yes. Poor Hurry talks to me about it every once in a while. He has to deal with them in one way or another, and I can well imagine what a headache it must be for him.
Are these feuds so bad that they interfere with the working of the project?
Not seriously. Are there any people who are more quarrelsome than others, or any who draw more resentment than others? In short, are there people you can get rid of and perhaps remove 90% of the friction at the cost of, say, 5 or 6% of the personnel?
Amaral raised his eyebrows.
Sounds like a good idea, but I don't know whom to get rid of. I don't really participate in all the minutiae of internal politics. There's no way of stopping it so far. So for my part, I merely avoid it.
That's strange, said Dawes. Aren't you in this way denying any credibility to psychohistory?
In what way? How can you pretend to reach a point where you can predict and guide the future when you cannot analyse and correct something as homegrown as personal frictions in the very project that promises so much?
Amaral chuckled softly. It was unusual, for he was not a man who was given to humour and laughter.
I'm sorry, Dawes, that you picked on the one problem that we have solved, after a manner of speaking. Hurry himself identified the equations that represented the difficulties of personal friction years ago, and I myself then added the final touch last year. I found that there were ways in which the equations could be changed so as to indicate a reduction in friction. In every such case, however, a reduction in friction here meant an increase in friction there. Never at any time was there a total decrease, or, for that matter, a total increase in the friction within a closed group. That is, one in which no old members leave and no new members come in. What I proved, with the help of Elar's achaotic equations, was that this was true despite any conceivable action anyone could take. Hurry calls it the law of conservation of personal problems. It gave rise to the notion that social dynamics has its conservation laws as physics does, and that, in fact, it is these laws that offer us the best possible tools for solving the truly troublesome aspects of psychohistory.
Dawes said, Rather impressive. But what if you end up finding that nothing at all can be changed, that everything that is bad is conserved, and that to save the empire from destruction is merely to increase destruction of another kind?
Actually, some have suggested that, but I don't believe it.
Very well, then. Back to reality. Is there anything in the frictional problems within the project that threaten Hurry? I mean with physical harm.
Harm Hurry? Of course not. How can you suggest such a thing?
Might there not be some who resent Hurry for being too arrogant, too pushy, too self-absorbed, too eager to grab all the credit? Or, if none of these things apply, might they not resent him simply because he has run the project for so long a time?
I never heard anyone say such a thing about Hurry.
Dawes seemed dissatisfied.
I doubt that anyone would say such things in your hearing, of course, but thank you, Yuga, for being so helpful, and for giving me so much of your time.
Amaral stared after her as she left. He felt vaguely troubled, but then returned to his work and let other matters drift away. That is the end of track one. At the end of this announcement, move the control lever to off, remove the cassette, turn it over and replace it in the machine. Then press the track change button once. Please do this now.